everyone, and welcome back to Comfy Club, an excuse for two best friends to talk about video games. Today, we are talking about the brand new Nancy Drew game, Mystery of the Seven Keys. And wowie zowie.
Just to preface this, for anybody who wants to play this game, we're going to do relatively spoiler-free story-wise. And then we'll kind of announce when we want to talk about spoiler stuff at the very end of the game. This does not include puzzle. I say spoilers, we're not counting puzzles. Puzzles are not spoilers. And we'll get into especially why we think they're not spoilers.
F those puzzles.
Yeah, holy cow. Oh, man. Yeah, this, I want to start off by saying this game was $32.
$32. If you want to pay $32 for stress.
We're going to revisit that number at the end of this episode. Holy cow. First of all, that's one of the most expensive. I think this is probably in like the top five most expensive games we've played on the podcast so far, right?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, when something gets up to 20, I'm like, ooh.
Yeah. A lot of the games that we play are typically $25 or less. And a lot of times we buy games on sale.
Yep.
So, like, even if this game was on sale, and that's something we talk about a lot of times too, we look at like what is the full price of the game versus the sale price that maybe we bought it at. This game, brand new, $32. Keep that in mind as we go through this episode.
How long do you think it took you to finish it?
I would say probably like 8 hours, I think.
Yeah.
I used a lot of hints, and I used the PDF guide a lot. So this is another, this was like the number one red flag. Going into this episode,
we should have known.
Guys, we're going to have very few positive things to say about this game, I think.
Yeah, so. I think we should preface. We are very out of practice.
Yes.
With Nancy Drew games.
Yeah.
We're bad at games.
Yeah. But big red flag that when you download the game from their website, it comes with a PDF guide included free. It's right there. It's like, download the game, download the free PDF guide. When that happened, I was like, I'm going to download it, but like, whatever. I was like, that's so interesting that they just include that right off the bat.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that's a little red flag, a little bit, you know? And then another red flag for me was this game is only available from their website.
I know.
And not questioning the integrity of that, because I did look at some of the other reviews, because if you know anything about the Nancy Drew games, their most recent one, Midnight in Salem, so the one right before this, very poorly received. They switched from a proprietary game engine to using Unity. They tried something different. It did not go over well. So there are a lot of negative reviews on their website for that game. I was concerned that they did not put this game on other game platforms like Steam in order to curate reviews is what I was worried about.
Oh.
Yeah. Because the rest of the Nancy Drew games are available on Steam.
Yeah.
So when it wasn't available on Steam, I was like, that is an interesting choice. It's a very interesting choice.
I didn't even think about it from a review standpoint.
Yeah. That's like the number one thing that I always think about, because what was it recently? Oh, I think it came up in discussions about Blizzard when they moved Overwatch, when Overwatch became available on Steam, I believe. And if you use the Blizzard app launcher, there are no reviews. There's no reviews for Blizzard games. Like, you can't, they don't have like a place to like aggregate consumer reviews. There's not, it's not easily accessible. You have to like go to forums and just like read people's testimonies about stuff. And then when Overwatch went onto Steam, it got not review bombed, but like very honest reviews. So now that's kind of like in the back of my mind where I'm like, why are you not putting this up on a platform where people can give reviews, you know? So, yes.
Well, we'll review it.
Oh, yeah, right we now. Will. So this game, you play as Nancy Drew. It takes place in Prague. Mm-hmm. You've been called there by this rich woman who was selling this necklace. She sent it to, like, Jewelry Poshmark, basically.
Yeah.
And then got it back. There's a local jewelry appraiser and jewelry maker woman, and
she had found a buyer.
Yeah, she had found a buyer, air quotes. And so then this woman who's hired you brought it back from Poshmark and then delivered it to this woman who was like, oh, the gems in your necklace are fake.
Yeah.
And so we're trying to figure out what happened to her gems. And that is the main premise of this game, is we're trying to find the gems, unravel the mystery of what's going on there. Meanwhile, the crown jewels of Prague, of the Czech Republic, are about to be displayed for the first time in, like, 20 years or something like that. And now everyone is concerned about a jewel heist, because there was some, like, other crown jewel heist. Yeah. And I don't even remember if it was related to these specific crown jewels or some other, like, I don't even remember, because it just was so, the story was so, like,
convoluted.
It felt so surface level and also convoluted at the same time. Like, yeah. It was very bizarre.
There were a lot of things where I was like, what does that have to do with what's going on?
Yeah.
Like, you didn't have to throw that element in here.
Yes. And I was talking to Ben about this the other day, and I was talking about one puzzle specifically and, like, explaining it. And I was like, and then there was this mechanic that I didn't even know was a mechanic. And
yes, that was the worst part about the puzzles. Are you talking about,
yeah, like, it was just, it was so frustrating. And then, well, he was like, well, like, you know, did you not see, like, some indicator? I'm like, yeah, after I already failed the puzzle and had to second chance it because of this mechanic I didn't know about, which the UI of this game and the UX of this game are terrible. If any of these problems, like, I feel like we're so generous because we're like, it takes work. These are, like, you know, it's a labor of love on a lot of these things. But if there's one part of your game that isn't working well, but the rest of it is, then okay, cool, we'll let it slide. Like, not everything can be perfect, right? Mm-hmm. But when every part of your game is a, like, knockout fight every single time, like, trying to interact with an object is miserable, like, whew. Yeah. It was rough. It was a rough one. Yeah.
And, yeah. I'm glad to hear you say that too, because one of the things I thought was cool about this game is you could choose whether or not to play it point and click style, like the classic Nancy Drew games, mm-hmm. or actual,
like, free range, WASD. Yeah.
Yeah. So I did the point and click.
And I did the WASD first person style.
So I was like, well, maybe Mackenzie's having an easier time getting around.
I want to talk about that, because something that I thought was kind of interesting is in this game, there's really, like, two main locations. I say, like, main locations. There's, like, a big plaza outside this coffee shop that you start in, and there's, like, some buildings off of that that you go into, and then there's this big plaza where there's the clock tower and the computer shop. When there are big areas, and I get this is based off, like, a real location, mm-hmm. but I think there's a better way to do it. And I'm curious what the point-and-click style of this was like, because when you're playing just, like, first person walking around, you do have to walk all the way across these. And there is a sprint in this game. And let me tell you, Nancy's a runner. She's a track star. Because holy cow, girl was sprinting everywhere. I don't have time to walk across this thing. We're sprinting. We're running everywhere. Yeah. But it just was like, when when there are, like, these big spaces of just, like, nothing, like, I'm not interacting with things, and it's not even for, like, an added atmosphere either. Like, there's, like, people, but it's not like I'm overhearing conversations. There's not anything dynamic in the environment. There's not really, like, a, like, I don't know. It just, it felt big, but for no reason.
Yeah.
And we've talked about that in other games. Like, this is not exclusive to, like, indie games, because I felt the same way about Kingdom Hearts 3, which is objectively one of the highest budget games either of us have probably ever played. Right. And that game had the same problem. So, like, you know, it can happen to anybody. But in this game, it just was another thing on top of all of these other problems, you know? And when you're trying to find clues, it's like, how the hell am I supposed to find anything? Is there anything important here? I don't know. It's hard to, like, pixel hunt when you're like, it could, I don't know what's important here. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. It was very empty, which specifically in a mystery game like this, where if it brings you to a frame in the game, it should be for a reason.
Yes.
There should be a clue there. And a lot of the times there was nothing. It's like, okay, cool.
One of the ones that really frustrated me, and I really think this emphasizes where, like, I just think the ball got dropped a lot in this game. And I think maybe they had plans. It feels like they had a bigger plan. And then, like, I don't know, either had to, like, rush it or, like, cut parts of it or something like that. Because
it seems rushed.
Normally, yeah, normally in these types of, like, point-and-click style games, like you just said, if it takes you to a frame, there's probably something important there. Or it's, like, maybe not this specific one, but in general, something about this style of frame that you're viewing is important. And this game had one of those with, you go into these tunnels and there's these, like carvings kind of thing. And one of them is important, but you can look at all of them. Okay, cool. But at least one of them is important. In this cafe, and maybe, I don't know, maybe I failed to pick up on this and I did end up using this information in a puzzle somewhere or something, but in this cafe, there's bookshelves that go, like, around the whole cafe, and sections of them have a number and a label. So, like, one, history, two, politics, three, whatever. You can look in to, like, the vignette of those shelves for that topic, and some of the spines on those books have, like, they're more detailed, but that information was never relevant. In fact, there's two books on these bookshelves that are relevant that you can't look at or pick up when you go into those modes. Like, they're exclusively not in those modes. They're, like, on a shelf and you just have to, like, be standing near it and pick it up. So I was just like, why do you have this numbered thing, like a number and a word? They're all around the room, all of these detailed books, and then that's not going to be relevant later. Like, that was the first thing that I did when I loaded up the game. I was like, oh my gosh, all these numbers and these things, this is going to be relevant later. There was another clue with, like, a map of the thing, and I was like, okay, I got to write down where the numbers are on the map of the cafe so I know, like, where they are when it's relevant later. It's not. It never was. And I'm like,
well, what was this? Relevant for unlocking that locked file.
The, oh, you're so right.
The unknown person sends you, yeah.
Guys, I'm an idiot. It's fine.
It's like our love and the finds our own way in the past or something.
That's
and
then, so like, true.
Love's bolded. So it's 12 for romance.
I probably forgot that because that was the only puzzle that I thought made sense in the entire game. And the rest of the game, I think I was just frustrated by every puzzle. Man.
There were two puzzles that I had to use all the hints for and just get the answer.
The one in the jewelry shop killed me. I'm still pissed about that one.
That's when I got Jacob involved.
Yeah.
And it was like 11 o'clock at night. I'd been playing this game, like, all day. I was so ready to be done. I was like, Jacob, I need, like, this is the only mathematical equation that would work in this circumstance. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize we were taking decimals into account. And
yeah. Ugh. Well, and the other thing, too, so this is where the puzzles really irritated me. And this one is the perfect example. So there's this puzzle. You have, like, a jeweler's, like, gem sizing, like, tool. And then you line it up onto a gem cut guide with, like, different, like, carrots and stuff.
Took me forever to find the actual piece of paper that's right there on my desk.
Yeah.
Ugh.
And you have to make the tool into a certain position, and then it clicks into place, which, by the way, was way harder to get it to click into place. Like, I was trying, and I'm like, I don't know how I'm supposed to do this. Like, because I was trying. It wasn't like I just, like, looked at every single hint, and then the answer was like, okay, let me do it right the first time. No, I'm, like, reading each hint, and I'm like, okay, well, let me see now if I can figure it out. And it was like, you want to make them a straight line, and there's, like, these shadows on the thing for, like, how it's positioned. And I was like, what do you, like, I couldn't get it to click into place. So I finally just had to look at the picture and be like, okay, this is how it's supposed to be. And then it's like, okay, now you have to make the equation right or whatever. And I finally get through all of this. I'm like, okay, this must be it. But then I don't know what I'm supposed to do with this information, because sometimes the information they give you, like, you have to have two pieces of information that form a pattern in order to do something with that pattern, right? And the way that they go about, like, describing or, like, drawing the picture, I think what it was is they used decimals both times in the picture. So on this tool, there are tally marks next to each of the ones you're supposed to use. There's a 3, there's 2 ones, and a 2. On the picture that they have for it, where you're supposed to figure out what those tally marks mean, it has, like, the numbers, and then one of them has a 3 next to it, and the number is, like, 17.2 or whatever, and the 2 is highlighted. And then on the other one, it's, like, 4.3, and the 3 is highlighted, and that one is 2 tally marks. So my brain was like, oh, okay, I'm going to look at these. There's going to be a decimal, and that decimal is what I'm using to determine what that tally mark is. So, like, you just look at it, and it's like a, you know, like a normal cipher code, right? So, like, okay, what's the decimal on this one? It's a 2. Okay, it has 3 tally marks. So where there's 3 tally marks, that's the number 2. Where there's 2 tally marks, that's the number whatever. Like, that's what I thought it was. And obviously that was not the case. It was telling you that's how many places from the front you count in to get that number. And I was like, how are you supposed to, like, figure that out? Like, I don't know. And that puzzle also, I feel like other Nancy Drew games had been better about this. That puzzle in particular irritated me, because I literally was like, what sense does this make? You're trying to get the code to this woman's safe that's behind the counter. So she has, like, her safe and then these symbols above it. You use those symbols to figure out what gem things you need to use, which already have tally marks next to them. And then you also, like, look at this other thing. It was so convoluted. And I literally was like, most other puzzles make some sort of sense, you know? Or at least there's, like, a suspension of disbelief where, like, there's a puzzle later where you're, like, doing kind of, like, you know, the water flow game, basically, like, connecting up to electrical points, you know? And I'm like, okay, that doesn't really make sense in context, but, like, at least it's, like, a puzzle that kind of, like, sort of makes sense.
Yeah.
Does this woman forget the code to her safe all the time and just have this weird convoluted thing written down so she can remember how to get into her own safe? Like, that's where I'm always like, okay, you've lost me here. Like, this isn't a secret passage for some, like, secret society. This is just your safe for your business files. Like, why do you have this system? Like, what?
Yeah, that one was rough for me because I didn't even, like, notice the scratch marks on the different pieces.
Yeah.
So I had the 3 pieces of paper that have, you know, the decimal point thing, which I didn't know they use commas in Europe instead of decimals.
That is, and that's the other thing too, is, like, that's indicated above something on one of the pieces of paper. It says, like, oh, make sure to use, like, 13.2 when talking to Americans or something. It's, like, how they relay that information to you.
And I read that, but it didn't register in my head that, like, oh, they use the commas.
It wouldn't have registered in my head if I didn't already know that information.
Yeah. See, Jacob, like, already knew. So when he was helping with the puzzle, He was like, that's how they do it. And I was like, oh. Yeah. He said, it says it right there on the paper. I was like, I don't know, yeah. Man.
And there's so much extraneous information, especially in this one in particular, that's not so relevant. Much.
Yeah.
And some of the information that is relevant, I'm just like, I can't keep up with all of this. I cannot be bothered to remember when King Francis of Prague or whatever his name was crowned. Like, I can't do that.
And I think that's where the UX is really bad, because when you're solving these puzzles, you can't access your camera and your journal while you're doing them.
Yep.
And it's just impossible to.
So you just have to back out. And what's really frustrating is a lot of these puzzles are like a double frame in. So you engage with like the larger portion of a puzzle, but then to actually do the puzzle, you go in again. So anytime, like doing the stupid miniature clock, anytime I wanted to check my pictures, which I didn't even need to do, by the way, that annoyed me to no end, you would have to back out and then back out again. The same thing with, like, I think the alchemy one, or maybe there was, like, I don't know, there was another puzzle that was really irritating me, where it's, like, every time you need to check something, you had to back out again, pull up your journal, scroll down, go to this. Ugh, so annoying.
Yeah, but I think for that gemstone one, like, I had the three pieces, my pieces of paper, and I was just trying to do math. Like, because I didn't have that gem sheet over there because I hadn't seen it. Because, again, I'm point and click.
Yeah.
Stuff's hard to see. And so I'm just trying to solve these equations, trying to find an X and a Y. And I don't have any variables. And I'm like, man, this is like some intense math. And And so then I finally get the hint. It's like, oh, you have to line up the scratch marks. It was like, I would have never gotten there.
Yeah.
On my own.
Yeah.
And I feel like usually in these Nancy Drew games, Nancy gives you like verbal clues. And that is really lacking in this game.
Yeah. The hints in this game, I really did not think were good. So in your little iPad or whatever, you can get hints on certain puzzles. And I just think that the hints aren't, I wouldn't say they're like bad, but they're not immersive in the way that previous games have been, and they don't really help you do things by yourself. No. So like there were some things where just like in previous games, I feel like Nancy would say like, I feel like I'm missing a piece.
Yeah.
You know, like things like that, or like, no, I'm missing something else. I need to look around more. Mm-hmm. Or I should come back later and try talking to her then. You know, like stuff like that.
That girl's gone silent in this game.
Yes. Like there's just things like that that we're not getting in this game that make it frustrating trying to figure things out by yourself. Because some of these puzzles have so many freaking layers for no reason that if you're not doing it right, it's impossible to figure out what part of it you're not doing it right. Like, there is this alchemy puzzle where you have to put in, like, the ingredients do them in a certain order. And really, there's only, like, one order to do it in that, like, it lets you do it. So, like, whatever. But the order you're supposed to do the ingredients is marked in this book with a line that touches these four different symbols, and there's an X on one end of the line. I thought that this was like a freaking pirate treasure hunt. X marks the spot. That's the end of the thing. But it's not. That's the beginning of the line. That's where you start. And I was explaining this to Ben because I was like, yeah, I was really frustrated because I just kept doing it and it wasn't right, you know? And he was like, well, you know, if it were me, I would have done it this way. And then if that was wrong, then I would have just done it in the other direction. I'm like, yes, but I don't know if that is the part that I'm doing wrong.
Yeah.
I don't know if she doesn't tell you. Maybe I'm using the wrong ingredients. Maybe I am doing the steps in the wrong order. Maybe my symbols are completely off because that was its own little cipher thing that you had to do. Like, it just was so frustrating that every single puzzle, I just was like, I don't know what I'm doing wrong here, you know? Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Yep.
And with the controls a lot of times.
Oh, God.
Like, a lot of things like that one, that piece of paper, and mm-hmm. then the crown jewels one, you're required to rotate things.
The rotating is terrible in this game.
You get no indication that you can even rotate a damn thing.
No. Like, the green gem on that crown, too, this is the other thing. There aren't good indicators on things that are interactable. I was
looking for that freaking emerald for like 20 minutes.
I had to look at the guide for this. So at the very end, one of the very last puzzles you do, you're putting gems into a crown, okay? It gives you the gems in your inventory and it locks you into the screen with the crown mm-hmm. to put them in. You can't back out of it. You can't do anything. You're trapped there. And so three of the gems, super obvious, where they're missing, you know, it's just a huge piece on the outside of the crown where it's missing it. And I honestly just clicked on gems and tried them in all three spots until they locked in. And then on top of that, they're supposed to be pivoted in a certain direction. How was I supposed to figure that out? Who the hell knows? I don't know.
It doesn't tell you.
And it's also
different mouse cursor.
It also uses a mouse button that we haven't used the entire game. This puzzle pissed me off because it introduced two mechanics in the last puzzle of the game that had not been seen the entire game. So one of them was using the right mouse button to turn something. Hadn't done that at all in the entire game. Never relevant. Didn't even know that was a thing. And then during this puzzle, the bad guy is there standing next to you, forcing you to put these gems in the crown, even though she's, like, qualified to do
spoilers.
It. I don't know. We don't know who it is. There's a lot of gem people. There's a lot of gem people in this. There's a lot of qualified people in this game. But there's a little eye icon in the top left corner, which I noticed after I got my second chance and died or whatever. And then there's like a little, there's like a flashlight kind of like thing in the background. But again, the background is blurred out. This is a room we've never been in before. And now suddenly there's a mechanic of somebody watching you that if you do something suspicious, they like catch you and you have to try again. Never been a mechanic at all in this game.
Yeah. The watching part, I wasn't.
Do that?
That one was a little, that part of it was a little obvious to me. I'm like, oh, okay, I see. But
yeah, I was really invested in trying to figure out where these stupid gems go. Because the emerald, the final emerald piece, you couldn't even see it. I couldn't even figure out which one it was supposed to go. I just clicked on all of them until it went into one. And I was like,
yeah, I don't even know where it went.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool.
Exactly.
Oh, man. But yeah. At that point in the game, I was following a walkthrough. I was I'm ready to be done with this.
Oh, yeah.
But my least favorite part of this game, the part I'm so mad about, why did they have to make it scary?
Yeah! What the hell?
Why am I literally being chased where...
By a skeleton cloud.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if he catches
tunnel.
You die.
Yeah.
No.
And the music... terrifying. Oh my god.
It jump scared me when the first time. I'm like, oh my god. And so then my heart was racing. I was like, and you're in this tunnel.
Yeah.
I can't tell which way I'm going.
No.
I'm looking around. I died so many times. Like, why is this here? I hate this.
Well, and I was pissed because I did that right after I texted you to turn the brightness down. And when I went back and did it after I died the first time, there's a ladder that I had gone down that tunnel. I was like, oh, it's a dead end. It was too dark and I didn't see the ladder.
Aww.
I was like, the monkey's paw curls.
Yeah, I hated that. That was too scary.
Yeah.
Like, it's message just, in the Haunted Mansion, you have like a ghost go across the screen.
Yeah.
And that was like, really scary.
Yeah. It's just so crazy to me. I hate things in games like that because I'm such... Like, in a fight or flight situation, I'm a fight girly, okay? And I've learned this, okay? I thought this before. I had an experience where I learned I am a fight girly. And just in my mind, if I was trapped in a tunnel and there was a spooky thing coming after me, my brain is literally like, look, if you're really supernatural, there's not really anything I can do. But if you're not, and you don't have a gun, I feel like I have a chance. Like, I'm 100% going to fight you in this tunnel. Like,
I have a better chance fighting you.
Exactly. So, like, running from this guy, I'm like, nah, this is 1v1. You or me. Like, let's go.
Oh, my gosh. And then your trap later to get this guy. Girl.
Man.
I was so long. You could pick up boxes.
Yeah, you had to pick up the boxes. The hammer. You had to pick up the hammer, which I looked at the table. I tried to click on the tools that were there. I'm like, oh, that seems useful or something. Like, but the interact, like, zone is so small in this game. Where in previous games, it was like, if I clicked on a pile of things, Nancy would just pick it up and be like, oh, here's the thing I needed out of it. I'm like, thank God. I don't know what I was looking for there. In this, you had to, like, pick up the hammer. You had to be like, that's the hammer I need. Let me click like right where I would put my little fingers to pick this up. Like, absurd. Absurd. You know?
And it was really inconsistent, I feel
like. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. When you're going through Adina's purse and you're hovering over items, they would be outlined in yellow. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, that's great and really helpful. So I clicked on all those things.
Mm-hmm.
And then the one thing you actually needed to click on didn't highlight.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then there's just, like, there's just both of these puzzles, air quotes, or interactions, are another example of where, like, having Nancy say, like, give you a better hint of what you're supposed to be doing, even with repeated voice lines. And I think that's kind of really where it failed, because with this thing, you're like setting this trap. You're going to knock this scaffolding down on what you presume is a real person, right?
Yeah. I was like, why is this woman trying to murder this guy?
Kill somebody. That's what I thought. I was like, I don't think this is OSHA approved, Nancy.
Yeah.
But, like, one of the things she says, so you walk up there and you put the boxes down, and she says, like, something about how these, like,
the latches don't have
the latches
locks.
Don't look. I don't know where the latches are. I have no idea where they are. How am I supposed to figure out where the latches are? And then at that point, you've picked up a screwdriver, like, way earlier in the game. And I don't even remember what I used that thing for. Yeah. I'm trying to use the screwdriver on freaking everything.
Yeah.
And so I, like, have the screwdriver. I'm, like, walking around trying to click everywhere on the scaffolding, because I'm like, what do you mean? Oh, God. But again, like, if she, during that whole time, was like, oh, the latches, you know, or even just gave a little bit of a better hint about where they were, you know, like, oh, the latches on the top of the scaffolding. You know? Oh, the latches by the yellow tape. Like, literally anything, like, in between, like, find a way to disable this thing and looking up the answer. Just anything in between there would be great.
That's rough.
Yeah. And then, I have one more puzzle to complain about. That stupid freaking clock.
Okay. Well, that's one of the ones I want to complain about, so go ahead.
The clock puzzle at the end of this game, I think, is the epitome of every single thing that we've complained about so far.
Oh, girl.
It is, from the beginning of the game, you can go into frame one on this clock. Yes, but you can't click on anything. She doesn't say anything about it. You just, like, look at it. And I'm like, okay, what am I supposed to do with this? It matches, it's the astronomical clock in Prague. So if you know what that is, it's very cool. Very neat. I don't want to learn another thing about the stupid clock because I'm pissed off about this game. So you can, this is the one time where they used what I thought was a good, like, in-game style hint, where you can talk to the woman that runs the cafe about this clock situation. But the hint she gives is bad. It's a bad hint, because she tells you about how, like, there's, like, a curse on Prague, and if the astronomical clock ever stops working, then, like, something terrible will happen. And then she says, like, go look at the big astronomical clock and look at this one and see what's different about them.
Yeah.
Which,
she
to me,
says make them match.
Yes. So I'm like, okay, make them match. Duh.
I'll go take my little pictures.
Yes. Yes.
Girl.
So do that, and that's not the answer to the puzzle. The answer to the puzzle isn't to make them match. Why did you say that? I almost rage quit this game when I started looking up the answers. I was so pissed. So she tells you, make a match. You try to do that. And then I go and I'm like, okay, I'm doing this wrong. Whatever. I've tried. I can't figure it out. So I go and I look at the guide. You know what the guide tells me? Oh, you need to text Ned. How would I have known that? After exactly. every piece of information I'm supposed to get, I'm supposed to go into all of my contacts and try to text and call every single one of them? Like, is that how I'm supposed to play this game? Like, there's no indication that you've, like, that's what you need to do next. And that was also very inconsistent. Sometimes I feel like you would get a notification for a message, like, if they texted you first. But if you needed to text them, there wasn't anything to, like, tell you to do that, usually.
And also, so, Ned had been so unhelpful this entire time.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, he has all the answers to this one puzzle. Like, really?
So then he sends you these pictures talking about how this puzzle, like, how the clock works, which this is an incredibly complicated clock. So if you look up this astronomical clock, it is like a quadruple clock. It has a 24-hour clock along the outside, and then like the Bohemian clock, and I didn't really understand what that was. No. And then
my brain was so beyond retaining information by this point.
And then there is one dial that has a little sun. There's like one like arm that has the sun that goes up and down on it. And then there's another dial that has a little like moon that shows you the phases of the moon. That also goes up and down and spins. And then there's also another wheel that shows you what time of the year it is. It has the zodiac signs on it. And some of those pieces do things together. Like moving one piece may move another piece a certain way. That's a normal thing in puzzles all the time. There were a couple puzzles like that in this game, whatever. But then on this clock, so again, we've said you don't have to make the clocks match. So you may be thinking, okay, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to see that the miniature clock has this plaque on it that just has the name of the Bohemian King, one of them, whichever one it was.
Yeah.
And I don't even know if it had the date on it because, again, at that point.
No, it did not.
Yeah. So you're supposed to see that plaque. This is how you're supposed to solve this puzzle, guys. You see the plaque. That's what you're supposed to see, I guess, is different. And you're supposed to say, okay, this plaque matches, not matches, but it tells me about the sign that's on the other clock. So you go look at the sign on the big clock and you get the date and time from the big clock on that sign for when it was dedicated. And then you have to put that onto the small clock. So then you have to know, then you have to read through Ned's notes and know the date and then figure out how you're supposed to position the clock. And a reminder, you can't look at your notes in game and the clock at the same time.
No.
So unless you're literally like copying these down by hand or like have a screenshot open or looking at the guide, like there's no way to be like, okay, if I need this hand to indicate it's July or whatever, like how do you do that? Like you can't, it's not all in the game. It's so frustrating. And eventually I just was like spinning it around because I just like, I don't know. Like I almost rage quit the game and just gave up on it then. Because on top of all of that, I couldn't tell you where on that main spinner with like the moon that spun, I couldn't tell you where you click on the clock face or on that hand to make it move.
Oh, so
I don't know. I just was like clicking around until I grabbed it. I couldn't figure out what part specifically you had to click on.
Yeah.
So a convoluted puzzle, a complicated device, and then the UX is so bad that I couldn't even figure out how it was supposed to work.
Did like, the sign on the big clock have the date? Because I got that from the museum.
Maybe it did. I assume that you had to use the sign on the clock at some point. Like, at that point, I just was like, because again, I thought it was supposed to be making a match. And I just was like, no, I can't do it.
Yeah, that was a doozy.
Yeah.
And then when you solve That's just the top section.
Oh, yeah.
Of the clock tower puzzle. I don't even
know what the hell the bottom section was about.
The bottom section, I guess that, I don't even think that part matched what was on the big tower.
No, it doesn't. It has something to do with the month of something else. Maybe the month of, like, the dedication or something. Like, maybe that, like, tracks, like, the month or something. But, like, yeah, that also had to be different than what the big clock was. And you're supposed to figure that out with probably something in the museum as well, too.
Well, when you solve that, you get this little tube, and it's just one of, like, the rotate-y kind of puzzles. Except you can't see the whole pattern.
No.
So you have no way to know that you lined everything up correctly.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't even look all lined up from your perspective.
Nope. Ugh. So bad. Bad puzzle after bad puzzle, and it was so frustrating.
That one was rough.
Yeah.
But the other one that made me mad was the one in the dean's office on the wall.
Oh, yeah. I did get that one. That one is probably one of the only puzzles that I feel like I got, like, mostly by myself. I think I did look at the guide because I think I had one part of it flipped. Yeah. Yeah.
I think it left too much to be guessed. There was too much
unsure. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I liked the setup of it, and I liked, like, oh, okay, this makes sense, and you line these up, and, like, this makes this pattern, so this obviously goes here. Loved that. But then you're left with so many pieces that you just have to guess and put them in the right spot. Like, there's no rule on, like, you know, you need all the different whatever in each quadrant, or, like, it didn't even math out that way.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Like, I had it. And I was like, if this isn't it, I have to look. And I had two things that were wrong that are nowhere in the clues of the puzzle. You just had to guess right and put them in the right place. Like, nothing should be left up to guessing.
Yeah.
In the puzzle game.
There should be only one right way to put the clues together, you know? And that one, I think I had the same exact thing. I did look up, like, the final answer to it, I think, because I think I did the same thing as you, where, like, there are two different ways that you can assemble the clues for that, because some of them, like, are flexible like that. And I just was like, okay, well, this is a bad puzzle design. Like, what do you mean?
Yeah. And then I was so, I think, over it by that point. I was reading the clues for it, and it was saying the clue on the left, upper left, corresponds with the second to right row. And I was bitching to Jacob, and I was like, well, it's just the left, but that doesn't make sense, blah, blah, blah. He's like, well, that's your right, babe. I was like, oh, my God.
And I think it's just a testament to how frustrating these puzzles were that both of our husbands were like, I mean, I feel like that part of it was, like, kind of obvious, right, about a specific puzzle. And both of us were just so exhausted and frustrated by these puzzles that it's like,
you don't understand how we got here.
Exactly. You don't know what I've been through.
But there were a few, like, a couple of, like, the cybersecurity puzzles. I just had Jacob do them. I was like, I can't.
I did like those ones.
I enjoyed them, but
those ones did have one right way to do it.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I just need to figure out the right way to do it, you know? And it wasn't, you have to remember some weird date, you know, from a plaque you read that you didn't realize was important because there's a bunch of other plaques that have other non-important information. Like, yeah.
Yeah. I think
it's a lot.
My favorite puzzle was solving the translated alchemy journal riddles.
Oh. Which one was that? With, like, the, where you have to go to the three different things?
Yeah.
Yeah. I did like that one.
Because I thought, like, I was able to come to the conclusions of all the riddles by myself.
Yes.
I had to think about them for a little bit.
I think I had to look up one of them, and I don't remember which one it was.
Yeah. But I enjoyed that one.
Yeah.
And then that was kind of one of those moments where, like, one of them leads you to these candles that you've seen earlier in the game. And you're like, oh, those candles, finally. Which, the actual puzzle for that, hard.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like, yeah, I think that's another good example of where, like, that puzzle with the little candles. So it's all these little candles on what basically kind of looks like a chessboard, and there's, like, letters on some of them. And you, like, turn on and off the candles to light up specific letters.
What word do you want?
You're supposed to do specific letters, but they're kind of, like, randomly arranged. And so, like, they're arranged in a grid, so if you light up one square, it may turn off another square. Like, it's one of those kind of puzzles. But the thing is, there's no indication for how you're supposed to know what letters you're supposed to light up. Like, I had to go look at the guide. I just assumed, first of all, I barely even saw the letters. I went over there and I assumed
they were hard to see.
That the puzzle was to light up the whole board. That's what I thought it was. And then I was like, okay, well, that, I don't know how you're supposed to do that. Let me look at the thing and see if it gives me any hints. And then I was like, oh, you need to go look at this note on the dean's desk.
Yeah, I guess. And look at that.
And I was like, what do you mean? And then on that note, so on this little chessboard, they're, like, written in, like, gothic, like, lettering. On this piece of paper that you're supposed to look at, there's a list of, like, these gothic letters. And I was like, okay, maybe that's, like, the order I'm supposed to light them up in. And then I went and I tried that because I was like, I don't even know. And then I looked it up and I was like, no, you're supposed to do these ones that are, like, written here. And I'm like, why is this weird secret passcode written in this pamphlet for this weird candle chessboard he had? Like,
yeah, I guess because the key to trigger that puzzle is this coin.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Bohemian or whatever language that was,
yeah,
word for coin is cuprum. And that's the word you're supposed to
You were supposed
to remember that you saw a little coin on this brochure that you picked up in the dean's office 2 days ago.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Oh god.
What a wild ride.
Yeah. Well, I will say, I did like, sort of, the one of the first puzzles you do, which is that, like, twisty, the thing with, like, little symbols in the museum. Yeah. That was a bright light in the puzzles of this game, where I was like, okay, I can put these clues together and get these answers. I can figure it out, you know? But that was pretty much the only one.
Man.
Yeah.
I think we need to go back to an old Nancy Drew game.
And see if they're all this bad.
Yeah. And I don't
think they were.
I don't think so either.
Because we played the Haunted Mansion one, like, I don't know, what, 4 years ago? 5 years ago?
Yeah.
And, like, some of it was hard, but it clearly was, like, us missing something, like, as people. Not, like, the game was bad. Yeah. But I did, I asked one of our coworkers, because his wife has been into the Nancy Drew games, and so they're playing it this weekend, her and her mom, and then her daughter as well. And I asked him, I was like, what does your wife think? Like, how does she feel about Nancy Drew games? Like, how difficult does she think the puzzles are? And he said that she had, like, looked up answers to puzzles before. And then I texted my mom, who's played, like, all of the Nancy Drew games. We grew up playing these games. And asked her, I was like, on a scale of 1 to 10, how stupid did Nancy Drew games make you feel when you were playing them? And she was like, I don't know, probably like a 7 or an 8, maybe a 9. So, like, the Nancy Drew games being weirdly difficult is not unusual. But I felt like this one was bad game design. Whereas, like, in the Haunted Mansion game, there was one puzzle that we had to look up an answer to that was basically like us just not, like, we had all the pieces to do the puzzle. We could have figured it out, but we just were not. You know, we were probably both like two glasses of wine in at that point.
I'm sure.
And like, it was some weird, like, Sudoku style symbol puzzle or something like that. And it was like, I don't know. But yeah, definitely don't remember there being as many insane, like, just user interface issues.
Yes.
For sure.
And yeah. I just think the story wasn't great.
No. So let's get into the story. So we've talked about the puzzles. Now we're going to get into spoilers about the story. So if you want to play this game and you don't want spoilers, I'll put in a timestamp for you to skip ahead to for our reviews at the end. Okay, so to skip all of these story spoilers, go ahead and skip ahead to 5840. Oh, man. This cast of characters. Holy cow.
Man, the inconsistent accents.
Yeah. Dude, Elka's accent was the worst. I was like, are you...
You're American?
Are you
and
American?
Then all of a sudden she had an accent and it was like, okay.
And girl. It was like, while she was talking too, it wasn't like, you know, like sometimes she would say things with an accent. It just, sometimes I was like, did you have this accent the whole time? Oh, no, it's gone again. Like, very weird. They're just the different characters I was confused by kind of their, I don't know, their, like, place in the story. Like, the museum guy, at the end of the game, honestly, nothing he did was relevant. There wasn't anything relevant about the museum guy.
But, I mean, you have to have, you know, a group of suspects.
Yeah, but I wish that, like... Like, here's the thing, he was never even a suspect. Like, he was on our, like, list, like, we have, like, a suspects tab, which, first of all, should have just been called people. I don't know why it's suspects.
Yeah, because Zane's obviously not a suspect.
Yeah. And I don't know, like, the parts that he had in the story, I was waiting for them to be more impactful or for him to have an impact on the end of the story, and he just never did, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, he just was, like, a guy. I was like, okay, you know? And then the lady of the cafe, she had a little bit of, like, you know, I don't know, like, a little bit to contribute, but I just was kind of like, this could have been, I don't know, like, I just felt like it wasn't that much with her character. Like, I wish there was more, you know?
Did you see, like, who it was coming?
No. No. Because, so... Oh, God. The very end had what I think was, like, kind of a twist, but I was kind of like, I guess the reasoning behind the bad guys...
I thought the motives were off.
Yeah, it was so bizarre and, like, not entirely out of left field, but, like, I don't know. I just felt like it could have been better. So, spoilers for the very end of the game. Elka is the main bad guy. And her accomplice is the gemstone lady. And the only hint that I had that maybe Elka had something to do with it was when Nancy figures out they're tracking her phone. And that's when I was like, she's the only person who's had Nancy's phone. So she must have done that. But at that point... I didn't think she was, like, the bad guy. I thought she had done that for some other reason. Like, I thought she was in league with the Residente, who are, like, this Prague, like, underground Batman-style vigilante kind of stuff or something. I don't know. And it's kind of hinted at that two of these characters up until that point, it's hinted at that they're involved in it, and then it's confirmed. I thought that she was doing that in league with them.
Yeah.
You know?
The virus you get on your computer, I was like, oh, that's suspicious. And then seeing the finances for their business. Yeah. And then what tipped me off, though, was her purple pen, which was one of the things she could pick up on her desk. And then when you're in Vadina's jewel shop and you get the, like, physical copy of the Dagos file that she filled out, it's in purple ink. And I was like,
wow. Oh. Nope, never would have put that together.
Yeah, but I thought their motives were weird. Like, especially Vladina's.
Yeah. Yes. Like, okay, you're a woman and they won't let you manage the crown jewels because some stupid tradition.
And okay. Your family just steals gems and that's just what y'all do? Like,
yeah.
I'm sorry. That's not interesting.
And then, this is where it really lost me. I think this is the part that really didn't connect for me. The motives all make sense for stealing the necklace gems. If you think that Elka is trying to save her grandpa's shop. All right. of that checks out. We love a good, like, somebody doing something bad for a good reason kind of situation. But you think that's where it's going. And then at the end, she's like, surprise. I found out my mom died because she was in the Residente and she got murdered. And then my granddad never told me about it. So now I'm framing the Residente for the heist of the Bohemian crown jewels.
Mm-hmm.
What? So bizarre.
Like, it was there's so easier ways to ruin people's lives.
Yeah, like, what? And if you're hacking all these computers, if you're using this, like, weird public Wi-Fi situation, which, by the way,
oh my gosh,
coming from people who work in the tech field, what do you mean you, like, the implication is that she is running this free public Wi-Fi for the city of Prague?
Yeah, that like, the people whole can connect city to? Uses.
And I'm like, I don't know, maybe we should reevaluate your finances looking at that, because that kind of sounds like that's where your money is going. Maybe your shop is going under because of this, which I guess, again, that's not what she was concerned about. She was getting revenge on her grandpa. Like, so weird.
It was just kind of strange.
Yeah, it was very weird. Yeah. And then the most bizarre thing. I was so shocked. The very last scene of the game, you're talking to the woman who hired you, who's rich, I guess. And this guy who works for, like, an international, like, does he work for the CIA? He's a special agent. Yeah, he's, like, a special agent for, like, some international blah, blah, blah. And they're, like, looking into gem heists for something. The Hardy Boys give you his contact information, which I thought was fun. And apparently they're heavily featured, not heavily, but they're featured in Midnight in Salem. So that seems interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But the end of the game, he finally shows up and they like have like a thing. You're like in this cafe, like talking to the woman who hired you, and he shows up and they're like looking at each other and there's like some chemistry. And I was like, what is happening?
Why? Here? Yeah.
What is this?
I've been chased. I've been almost knifed. I've been poisoned. God. Like,
oh yeah. Ugh.
Oh man. Yeah. Also, Ned. Nancy needs to get rid of that guy, man.
I like Ned because I honestly think he's the most realistic character. Coming from a woman who's gonna do what I want to do, especially if somebody tries to tell me not to do it, I respect Ned for being like, please be safe. I know you're not going to,
yeah,
but I'm gonna ask. And he's just like so over Nancy's like random escapades. Because, like, and this happens in, like, multiple games, and it also happens in the books. So if you haven't ever read the books, like, he's exactly like this in the books, too, where she'll, like, call him up, and she'll be like, hey, Ned, guess what? And he's like, what? You're flying to another country to solve some weird mystery that's gonna put your life on the line. And she's like, oh, how did you know? And he's like, because that's all you do.
Because you do that every other day.
Yeah.
But what is this? Is he a, like, coach? A baseball coach?
I have no idea.
Oh, at the end of the game, where it's like, call somebody back. Who did you pick to call back?
I don't know. I guess my dad? Probably, I guess the dad. Which, first of all, why does Nancy have her dad saved with his first name in her phone? That was weird to me. I was like, who's Carson? And then she's like, call my dad. I was like, what?
So weird. Also, lawyers can't just do anything.
Yeah.
Hey, Dad, can you look into see if this woman who's not your client has insurance policy on this? Like, no, he can't.
It's not.
That's literally not how it works.
You don't get to just, like, look into people's private information. Oh, yeah.
Well, anyway, I called Ned back, and he was like, so are you gonna, like, coming back soon? And then Nancy jokes, like, oh, I was thinking about going to Romania, blah, 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 blah. And then she's like, no, just kidding. I just want to be back to you. And he's like, well, the Emerson or something has their first game, like, next week.
Oh, so that's the college that they go to, is Emerson College.
Okay, so he plays baseball in college.
I don't know if he plays. At least in the books, I don't think he did.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I was like, wait a minute. We're not 30.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, just like... They're young. They're, like, in college. Yeah.
Okay.
I think that in a lot of the books, she's a freshman in college or something. Maybe.
I'm ready for her to be 30.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I just want this game to be better.
And where the hell was George and Bess, man?
I know! There were some reviews for this game specifically talking about the lack of George and Bess. And I was like, at least they gave helpful hints in other games. I'm like, these two men... Which also pissed me off. Why was our dad even an option to call in this game?
If he was never going to answer.
Literally never answered. Not one time. Not one
time. Why did Ned tell me I can call anytime and then never picked up my phone calls?
Yes. Yeah.
What's the whole point?
Man.
If you can't call and get just like the standard, like George and Bess answer, like, well, you need to look around more.
Yeah.
Then don't give me the phone option.
Yes. Yeah. It's so annoying. I mean, like, when I say I was, like, calling people when I couldn't figure out what to do, I was going through the entire list. I was calling the guy, the CEO of the freaking gem Poshmark. I was like, please help me.
Sir, I know I accused you of robbery, but...
Yeah. Are we done with story spoilers, you think?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so, yeah, calling people was a weird... bad mechanic in this game for some reason. And also, ooh, this game, this is just another cherry on top. We got a lot of cherries on top of, like, bad things in this game. What did you think about the coffee barista simulator portion
of
the
game? Why the hell was that in there?
Exactly.
And I love a mini game.
Yeah.
That was unnecessary.
Yeah. It was so stupid. Because first of all, why are you going to force me to do this weird coffee making mini game that I have to do four coffees before it, like, completes, basically. Like, you could exit out of it, but then it wasn't complete and you, like, didn't get, like, whatever the lady told you or something. I don't know. Like, you had to do four of them for some reason. Not only was the cream at the end that almost made me rage quit the game too.
Yeah.
Like, the cream was so specific that at a certain point, I literally was just like, there's a stupid design, and I would just click in one spot and just hold it until it would fill in a bunch, and I'd find another spot, and I'd click there until it filled in a bunch, because I just was like, whatever I'm doing is bad, because it's so sensitive, like, you can't even drag your little guy out of it.
Yeah.
And miserable. And then, again, I understand puzzles in games and stuff. But tell me why this woman's recipe book is written like some sort of, like, bizarro hopscotch curse. Like, why to do one recipe do I have to look at two other coffee recipes to get the amounts?
Yeah.
Like, why are you writing your coffee
recipes?
Why
would she, like, even have recipe books?
Exactly.
All she does is make coffee.
The way these recipes are written for reference is it's like, oh, can I get a macchiato or whatever? The recipe for the macchiato is like, use twice as much coffee as is in a latte, and then half the amount of milk that's in whatever with some vanilla, and then the same amount of sugar that's in this other thing. And I'm like,
who would write it like that?
Or like this amount of coffee and then twice the amount of cream as the coffee that's in this other thing. And I'm like, why are we using red string theory to make coffee recipes? Like, what is this?
I did not enjoy it.
No, it was miserable. You have the option to go back and play it later. Hell no.
Yeah. Yeah,
absolutely not. Miserable.
I was watching this one girl's YouTube for help a couple times. And so I was just dragging through, you know, trying to get to where I was. And I think there was like three of her videos where she was making coffee. I was like, girl, I'm not doing that. I don't want to.
No. Miserable. Oh, well. Any other thoughts before we get into our rankings? I mean, I can complain about this game probably for another hour and a half.
I didn't like the journal. Didn't like.
No, it was terrible.
Like, just because you didn't click off a subtask that you'd done, you couldn't click off the whole task, even though you'd done it.
Yep.
I don't know. It was just...
The actual clue journal also was terrible. Miserable. Yep. They're not an easy way to look up things. You didn't, like, attach notes to, like, specific things. It just was, like, two separate, like, lists, and I don't even remember what the distinction was between them, because I literally never referenced those notes except for the poem puzzle to do, like, the symbols at the beginning. That's the only time I ever really looked at those notes and referenced them for anything, because I just was like, this is a waste of time. Why am I writing down phrases in Czech? When were those ever relevant?
It was never relevant.
Why do I care about what the Czech word for potato pancakes is?
You don't.
Like, what? Why?
Yeah, I would look at it because essentially when you were finished with something, you would get a journal entry.
Yep.
But there was no notification to you like, oh, I'm not really done here yet. Like, I had done what I thought was everything in the alchemy room, but because I didn't pick up that one coin that was under the one gem.
Yeah.
I couldn't. It was like, oh my, what am I missing here? Yeah. And like, I did the thing. I got the thing and the thing and, oh.
And like, sometimes there's stuff like that where like, okay, clearly, because I also did the same thing, like exact same thing where I like was like, okay, I must be done here. Tried to leave. And she was like, oh no, there must be something else. So I go around and look in this room and there's just no differentiation between what's important and what is not important in this game.
Because there were two other coins that were exactly the same. You can't
pick up.
Yeah.
And then also, from a UX/UI design, if a dialogue pops up, it covers up the icon to put something into your bag, in your inventory. So even if that popped up, there's a chance you could miss it if Nancy was saying something. And it also is like a copper coin in a brown cabinet with dynamic lighting on it. So it's like, I don't know, you just have a pixel hunt. But in this same cabinet, there are multiple things that you can pick up, not relevant. That like telescope thing, was that relevant? Did I just like miss how that was relevant?
No, it wasn't relevant.
There was like another little cabinet with like a flask and like some little dried like lavender or something. Relevant?
Not important.
Nope. Well, like... It's just, like, stuff like that where I just don't, I don't know. It doesn't feel like there was a good plan for this game, you know?
Yeah, I agree. Well, ratings.
Yeah. Let's get into them. You guys are going to be really shocked by this, I'm sure.
Yeah. Okay, let's do graphics first.
I'm going to give it a 3. Maybe like a 3.5. It's just like mostly stock Unity assets. But I think some of the puzzle, the looks of the things you could interact with, I thought were pretty. But like, it was just okay. Wasn't doing anything interesting. And
I agree. 3.
I have one thing to say. I think we talked about this the other day at work, but There was one character in this game that most of the characters, when you talk to them, it's just static, like just kind of first person with dialogue options. But there's a character in this game, it's like you go into the computer place and something spooky happens outside, and there's this whole scene with Elka where she's like moving around, she jogs, she like has like opposable fingers, like she makes like hand gestures when she like opens the door, and I was like, what? Why is there one character who's animated in this entire game? Like, what is this? It's very strange. Because it was just for that one scene. I just was like, am I playing the same game? What happened here?
Right.
It gave me high hopes for the rest of the game. But unfortunately, they did not. They didn't go very far.
Yeah. But I think you told me that the characters, I think especially like Adina, reminds you of, like, the Barbie computer games.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's accurate.
Yeah.
But it was fine. Graphics were okay, I guess.
Yeah. Didn't have any, like, I don't think it had any, like, graphical glitches, so, like, nothing to, like, really complain about, but
I had a point where I couldn't interact with the alchemy table. Mm-hmm. Had to save and restart the game, and then I could click into it. And then the puzzle in the vault to get through the secret door, I finished it right as the timer cut off. So Nancy was having her dialogue, but I was on the second chance screen. And I was like, maybe if I click continue, I'll be in the game. Like, no. So I had to redo it.
That's annoying.
Yeah.
No.
All right. Should we do controls? I'll be generous and give it a 2.
I'm going to give it... I think I'm going to give it a 3. Okay. This is really generous because I think, like, I don't think the controls were difficult. I think that the game was bad. it wasn't like, oh, when I would click on things, it wouldn't like pick them up, or like you didn't move the right way. Like, the controls weren't difficult, but the game itself was bad. Like,
the indicators for the controls.
Yeah.
And lack thereof.
Yeah. Like, bad. Like, the clock is a really good one. And then the, an example of, like, I think the controls are good because when you click on something, it clicks on it. But if the game is bad, that when you click on it, you're still like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, that's not the controls' fault, you know?
That's true.
Yeah.
I'm going to lump it in with controls, so yeah, it gets a 2 for me.
Yeah. I mean, I only gave it a 3, so.
Story. This is so bad.
Yeah.
I can't believe it. I only gave it
like a 2.5 or a 3.
Yeah.
I'm being so generous because I feel bad. And we wanted to like this game so bad, guys.
We were so excited for it. We're like, Nancy Drew, heck yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. What do you give it? I'll give it a 2.5 as well. So then our average is 5.
Yeah.
There you go. Wait, that's not how averages work.
No. I was like, average is like 2.75.
Yeah. See what this game did to me.
Well, did you think about multiplying our answers and then taking the third number from them and using that to get a code?
Yes. Let me do that really quick.
Yeah. Where's your gym sheet? Come on.
Jacob was looking at my handwritten notes. He was like, your notes don't make sense. And oh my God. Like, yes, mine? They do. Because the sun goes with the pair, which goes with the 7.
Mine literally looks like a crazy person because
You are the Da Vinci Code killer or whatever.
I'll have to post these or something. But these are my notes about the stupid jewelry puzzle.
Yes.
So you can see where I'm like trying to do the math and do all that crap.
Girl.
And then, gosh, I
that puzzle that you have on that. Aw, that's a cute drawing.
Yeah.
Of Koshek.
Oh, it's a printed one.
Oh.
Yeah. And then these are my notes from the alchemy puzzle.
Nice.
Like, why?
The puzzle that you had on your other piece of paper, the one for unlocking that book in the cafe.
Yeah.
Oh my god. No. I was there's mad about no that. Way. How no. in the world do you rotate that compass to get that sequence of numbers?
The way you do that puzzle, it air quotes made sense. Really big air quotes after I looked up the answer. Because the way you're supposed to do it, like, so there's this puzzle that has a drawing of the cafe, and it has four numbers on it, and then a little compass on it, so you know which way is north, basically. And then you find this journal that has a little symbol for north in the middle, and then two rings of numbers. One is directly northeast, southwest, and then the other one is the half directions. And what you're... I'm trying to remember what the
hint was. Outside plus outside equals inside.
Yes. So where the numbers are positioned on the map of the cafe tells you what circle they go in and what, like, section. So if it was inside the walls of the cafe, that meant it was on the inner circle. If it was outside the walls of the cafe, then it goes on the outer circle. So you fill in those guys, and then you say, okay, like, you know, three was on the inside, one was on the outside. So one plus two equals three. So you know the one on the other side of the three is a two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which that part I was cool with.
Yeah.
But figuring out the direction.
Yeah.
It made no sense in my small brain, I guess.
The one that got me was just like, it just was another gap in like, instruction where I was like, I didn't realize like it being inside and outside the wall of the cafe was important. Like, I didn't understand that. You know, I didn't realize how truly cardinal direction-y these were. Like, I didn't realize we were that, you know, granular on this. So yeah.
I digress.
Yeah. We never do that on this podcast. What are you talking never. About?
We're always on point.
Always.
Never stray topics.
Nope.
Nope. Not here. Replayability be the last one.
Ooh. Like one.
Yeah, I think just these types of games in general don't have high replayability. There are achievements in this game.
Yeah.
I don't think you could pay me to go back and play it.
The only way I could replay it is because when I was complaining about the stupid, crown puzzle at the end, and Ben was like, it kind of just sounds like you like just missed a really big obvious thing, and I was like, well, you can play this game and you can see how big and obvious it was, and you can see how terrible these puzzles are. So that would be the only way I could like even get close to replaying it, is if Ben was playing it and I was watching over his shoulder smugly being like, yeah, see how terrible this is.
Yeah, I think I'll have to give it a one as well. And I think what I've learned is I don't enjoy these types of games by myself.
Yeah. We had a lot of fun playing the Haunted Mansion one together.
Yeah.
That
was good. And doing some of the puzzles with Jacob
was fun.
More fun.
Yeah.
I mean, it was still frustrating as hell.
Yeah.
Especially because it was like 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
And I was over it, but that even that helped. And so I think maybe these just aren't my jam.
Yeah, maybe it's like a team game from here on out.
Yeah. So, I don't know. We'll have to try another one.
Yeah.
But this one wasn't it.
I think I would like to try Midnight in Salem, even though it has atrocious reviews. So maybe we play that one together, kind of see.
Okay.
See what we think.
I'm down with that.
I want to see the Hardy Boys. They're little cuties, so.
Yeah. And you just bought all those Hardy Boy vintage books not too long ago.
That's so true. So true. Yeah. Do you have any other ratings? I feel like that can't be all of them.
I think that's all of them. It's been so long since we've done...
Yeah, just like a normal game episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So overall, pretty negative experience from the Comfy Club crew.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah. Yeah. I really wanted to like it. Oh. Again. Remember? All the way back at the beginning? What was that number? $32. $32.
If you want to be frustrated like us, you can get it for the low, low price of $32.
Insane. Yeah. It was...
I can buy Stardew Valley for my Switch and my PC again and not spend that much money.
Yeah. Yep. So it's gonna be a no from us, dog. <You know?
laughs> Thank you, Randy Jackson.
Yeah. So if you guys played this game and had a wildly different experience than us, please let us know.
Please.
I would love for somebody to be like, no, I played this game and honestly it wasn't that bad. You guys are just idiots. That would honestly make me feel better.
Yeah.
And just be like, I'm okay with that. But at this point...
I don't think that's the case, though.
I don't either.
Because,
again, red flag number one, it came with a PDF guide.
Yeah. Like, and that YouTuber that I watched to help a little bit, it looks like she plays a lot of Nancy Drew games. Mm-hmm. And even she was saying in her playthrough, like, guys, you gotta let me know if it's just me and I'm missing something. But this, like, I'm not getting any... verbal clues from Nancy. Like, it just seems hard.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's just us, but it's, I mean, like we say all the time, we're bad at games. So yeah. It very well could be us.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Man. I was thinking, so just a glimpse into my life, I just recently got an IQ test and an ADHD test, which turns out, I mean, if you guys listen to this podcast, it's pretty obvious, right? You know where that went.
Yeah.
But my IQ test turned out was pretty good, in my opinion. But not if you rank it based on my playthrough of a Nancy Drew game.
Nope.
I don't know if I've ever felt stupider in my life.
Knocked so, you down a few pegs.
It really did. I said, these puzzles, they're something else for sure.
Man. They're rough.
Yeah. So maybe one day. We'll play another Nancy Drew game together and have fun with it.
I'm gonna need to recuperate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you guys so much for listening to our very long rant about it. When we were
sorry, it was just today, a long rant.
Remember we were thinking about, do you think we can do this in a half hour?
No.
Yeah. So yeah, thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll see you on our next episode. Bye.
Bye.